It's that time again for Kingdom Building. Stay tuned for Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. That's the kingdom of God. Everybody sing righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on. Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody.
Righteousness.
Righteousness. Peace.
Oh, and
joy in the Holy Ghost.
Righteousness.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
WAIF is a community radio station, serves only to open its airways to responsible, divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF. And thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1, and so glad to be here with you today. Call your friends, call your neighbors.
Call the cops.
We want to see everyone be lifted up in the name of Jesus today and encourage. We want to encourage you, and I believe this message today will be a message of encouragement. Hallelujah. My name's Rich, here with Oscar and Jim. Say hey, y'all.
God bless you all out there.
There you go.
There you go.
All right. Move that closer. Yeah. Okay. Hope everybody's doing well. Hope you're healthy and well. If you're not, you know, we're always available to you to pray with you. And grab the horns of the altar and pray for you and any, or maybe it's someone that you know needs prayer. I know Oscar asked for prayer, and we're going to pray for him after the thing here.
Yep.
And I know your grandson needs prayer.
Yes, he does.
And my stepson's still in Qatar, so he definitely needs God's protection. And, you know,
Johnny Baker.
Johnny Baker, he's got stage 3 or 4 cancer, lung cancer. And then just always keep our veterans and those who are serving currently, keep them in your prayers, because a lot of times they are put into situations that isn't very good.
That's
isn't
right.
Very good at all. Pray for the families of those that were lost. Can't even imagine it.
Yeah.
So, I guess we should always pray, shouldn't we? It says pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean get on your knees and go to your prayer closet, although it could mean that. It's just having an attitude of gratitude. That's praying right there. Really? It's just, talking to the Lord.
Yeah. It's close communication.
He's not a Lord that's far off.
That's right.
Yeah. He's close. He's close, man. I mean, right inside of you. That's how close.
Amen.
I know that's hard for some to understand, but think about it. I mean, he wouldn't have created us if he didn't care enough about us to guide us, direct us. And what better way to guide and direct someone than to actually be right inside of them, giving them encouragement along the way. So we give high praises to our Lord Jesus Christ, and we're going to get started here. So, how would you define living a life that's pleasing to the Lord? I think you would get a lot of different answers on that. You know, the Word says that it is impossible to please him without faith.
Mm-hmm.
It's impossible. We're going to give that scripture here a little bit, but I just wanted to throw that out. Every single person listening to my voice right now, God has given you a measure of faith. What's that word measure means? Well, it starts off maybe as just a limited portion, but you got it. That's the good news. You have faith. Mm-hmm. What do you mean? I don't feel that I have faith. Well, that's why God wants you to get with him to see that faith increase, so that you can trust him in all things, so that you look to him in all things, so that you don't allow yourself to be beat down by the darkness that may come into your life, whether it be depression, whether it be sickness, whether it be whatever. He wants you to rise above all that. Mm-hmm. And that's the faith. That's the faith that he's talking about. It's wonder-working faith. It's faith that can move mountains. You're a mountain mover, but you first have to believe it. You have to believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him.
Amen.
So guess what? It must mean if I want to increase the little bit of faith maybe God gave me, I have to seek him and seek his word. Can you increase your faith without reading the Bible? I guess. But guess what? It's going to happen a lot quicker if you read the word of God. Because that's a living testimony of who he is and who he is in us. So that's kind of what we're going to be talking about. I'm going to give a couple scriptures and then we'll kind of talk about it and see what's on people's hearts. As I said, if you're listening to this and you have a prayer need, don't hesitate to call. I mean, you can give your name. You don't have to give your name. But the number here is 741. Wait, hang on. I've given this number for 17 years. 741. I don't know. Gosh.
Can't prove it by me.
Anyway.
I remember numbers.
749-1444.
Senior moment, huh?
You be quiet. You just turned a birthday, so don't be talking to me. Yeah. I'm still the youngster of the group.
You're the kid. You're the kid sitting there compared to the rest of us. That's right.
Let me give it again, 513-749-1444. I bet you I've given that number out probably 1,000 times in 17, 18 years or whatever. Anyway, Jim says a senior moment. Thanks, Jim. Thanks for the vote of confidence, and thanks for encouraging me. Okay, so I'm going to read this out of the Amplified. It's Hebrews 11:11. It says, now faith. And, years ago, the Lord gave me a revelation on that.
Of now faith, yeah.
Because he's like saying, I'm thinking it's saying, now, okay, I got your attention. Faith is the assurance or the evidence. But no, that's not what it means. It means now faith. Faith that you have right this second. That's all that matters. I mean, faith is like manna. If you had faith 10 years ago and, you don't have it now, you need some now faith. You need some now faith. Mm-hmm. So now faith, just all we do is emphasize a different word and it puts a whole new spin on this thing. Now faith is the assurance in the Amplified, is the assurance, which means the title deed. Wow, the confirmation. Do you know that you have the title deed and a confirmation from the Lord? I mean, that's huge. And it says, of things hoped for, divinely guaranteed, the Amplified says, divinely guaranteed. You know, you have a divine guarantee from the Lord. And the evidence of things not seen. You know, when you go over and flip the light switch, you don't see the electric going through the current, through the wires up to the light, and the light turn. You know, you have all kinds of faith that when you, unless you blow a bulb, You have all kinds of faith that when you flip that switch, that light's coming on. Well, we need to have that kind of faith in the things of God. Evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality, faith comprehends as fact what cannot be experienced by the physical senses.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, why is it so easy for us to have faith in the natural things, and we struggle sometimes having faith in the godly things?
Mm-hmm.
For by this kind of faith, the men of old gained divine approval. By faith, that is, with the inherent trust and enduring confidence in the power, wisdom, and goodness of God, we understand that the worlds, the universe, ages were framed and created. They were formed and put in order and equipped for their intended purpose by the Word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. And I'm going to skip down here to verse 5. We're talking Hebrews 11, 5. By faith that pleased God, Enoch was caught up and taken to heaven so that he would not have a glimpse of death. Wow.
Powerful.
Wow. Wouldn't it be great if the spirit of Enoch just hit everybody?
Well, that same spirit that it is. God Enoch dwells inside of
it
us.
It sure does. Amen. Okay, so he was not found because God had taken him. You know, I've often thought, wouldn't it be great to have, you know, just kind of observed Enoch before God finally took him, just to kind of just talk to him and observe him and spend time with him? Well, we can, because Jesus came.
What did it say about Enoch? Why was he in that position? Because he did what?
Well, it says in the Amplified, it says, he was not found because God had taken him, for even before he was taken, he received the testimony that he had walked with God.
Amen.
And pleased him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He walked with God and he pleased mm-hmm. him. But without faith, it is impossible to walk with God and please him. For whoever comes near to God must believe that God exists.
Mm-hmm.
That's an easy one. I mean, I think pretty much everybody, even the people that don't believe in God, I think they have to sometime say, you know what? There has to be a God. And that he rewards those who earnestly and diligently seek him. Well, there's your answers right there, right in that mm-hmm. scripture, right in mm-hmm. Hebrews 11 tells you everything you need to know about having a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And the last thing I'll say before I open it up, there's people out there listening to my voice that have missed it.
Mm-hmm.
That includes everyone. We've all missed it. We've all fallen short. But guess what? Pleasing God is not about your performance and, you know, do you do this a certain way and do you do that a certain way and whatever, all these religious ceremonies and do's mm-hmm. and don'ts and mm-hmm. rituals and whatever. No, it's back to what we said. Mm-hmm. Walking with the Lord. Walking with him pleases him. Well, we're going to talk this next 45 minutes about walking with the Lord and how that pleases him and what does it mean to walk with the Lord. So what does it mean to you guys as far as walking with the Lord and all the things we discussed in Hebrews 11?
Well, you know, Rich, my sermon for Sunday morning, the title to my sermon was Work to Be Done, okay? Because people are always worrying about what kind of work am I supposed to be doing in the Lord? And this is out of the Passion Translation. It's Philippians 4, 6 through 8. It says, don't be pulled in different directions or worry about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day offering your faith-filled request before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life when God's wonderful peace that transcends the human understanding will make the answer known to you through Jesus Christ. So keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable and beautiful and respectful and pure and holy and merciful and kind. And fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always.
There you go.
That's walking with God. If you're doing that, you're walking with God, buddy.
Yeah. Well, let me piggyback that before Jim jumps in. I had this down here. Psalm 69
mm-hmm.
says that this will please God. So mm-hmm. listen to this. Just what Oscar just said. This is what it takes to please God in Psalm 69. And this is walking with God. I will praise God
mm-hmm.
in the name of God
mm-hmm.
in a song and will honor, magnify him by giving thanks.
Amen.
He makes it simple, folks. Walking with the Lord is not some arduous task that you have to do this a certain way. How do you walk with a friend? You get to know them.
Mm-hmm.
You spend time with them. And then guess what? It's fun to walk with a friend that's close to you. You have a good time. You laugh. You cut up. You just have fun. And that's what it's all about. It's not some serious, solemn thing that, oh, my Lord. Hey, that's fine. There's a time and a place for everything. But you know what? It's fun. Make it fun. Mm-hmm. Enjoy that time with him.
Amen. Yeah, actually, when you walk with somebody, you get to know them. I think one of the biggest problems that we all have, I speak from personal experience, is you have to learn to trust the Lord first.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a nature that is very distrusting. We don't really trust anybody, and rightfully so, because we're living in a fallen world. Everybody seems like there's a lot of deception out there and a lot of things that are sugar-coated and so on and so forth turn out to be pretty bitter tasting when you get right down to it. But the scripture that the Lord gave me on the way down the freeway here was in John 6:29, and the disciples, when they were walking with the Lord, they said, well, what work must we do, Lord? And the Lord simply said to them, for this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it all boils down to the simplicity of when you're walking with him. I don't know what the disciples were expecting to hear from Jesus. Maybe we'll jump through hoops or do this or do that, because I know that in the religious world today, there's a whole lot of stuff and things that's required and expected, and if you don't come through with a lot of those things, well, then you might be cursed with a curse but when they asked Jesus, he said, this is the only work that God wants from you.
Circumcised.
No, he didn't.
He didn't say, well, wear your hair a certain way or dress a certain way. It's very simple, folks.
Can I say something concerning what you just said? That was part of my sermon Sunday morning, so I'll just tell you what it was. In that John 6:28, it says, and they said unto him, what shall we do that we might do the works of God? Just said, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him that has sent me. Well, the Lord had me look into that word on. And it was translated in Greek 59 times as the word on. But it was translated 573 times as into.
Yeah.
That you believe into him.
Yeah.
Now, how do we believe into him?
Mm-hmm.
We have to realize Christ in you is the hope of glory. And then the full circle of that, we have to also believe, the scripture says, that in him we live and move and have our being. And until we come full circle in that, and we realize that we're in God's presence all the time. Not only is he in us, but we're in him. And when we believe into him, mm-hmm. that's when that's going to change. Mm-hmm. And I love the Greek word there. It's spelled ice, I-C-E, but it's not pronounced I-C-E. It's pronounced A-C-E, ace. Mm-hmm. So when somebody says, you know, I got this, what are they saying a lot of times? They'll all say, I aced this. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That means right. they got it totally down, you know. Yeah, right. When you take a test or something in school, kid will come up and say, boy, I aced my test today, you know. Mm-hmm. But so that whole word into is such a positive, strong word. And on really doesn't give the full meaning of what that word means mm-hmm. in the Greek. And I think when the translators translated that, they didn't really totally, weren't in a place of total understanding then. Sure. And they should have translated that okay. of that you believe into
yeah.
him.
Yeah. Amen.
Whom he has sent, which was Jesus, believing yeah. into Jesus. Yeah. And when we believe into Jesus, he said, when we see him as he is, what'll happen?
Be like
we'll
him.
Be just like him. Praise God.
Yeah, I think even when they talk about Enoch, it said Enoch walked with God and was not. That, when you actually meditate a little bit on that, was not. I started thinking about the Apostle Paul, where he said, it's no longer I that liveth, mm-hmm. but Christ that liveth in
That's
me.
That's right. That's good.
And I think when the Bible says he was not, I think in Enoch's own mind, his relationship became so one with God that in his own mind, he really didn't exist anymore. He mm-hmm. was not. Mm-hmm. He was part of God. Mm-hmm. You know, like Jesus, we're getting a little bit deep here, but, you know, Jesus said to the Pharisees, yeah, Jesus said to the Pharisees, you know, which work do you want to stone me for? And which good work do you want to stone me for? And, and they said, well, we don't want to stone you for a good work. We want to stone you because you, a mere man, you profess to be God. And he mm-hmm. says, well, doesn't the scripture say, I think it's in Psalm 82, I'm not sure. But he says, doesn't the scripture say that ye are gods?
I was just looking that up, and it's also in John 10:34.
Yeah. Okay.
Jesus himself
said it. Yeah.
Said, is mm-hmm. it not written in your law that ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scriptures cannot be broken.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know... You know, come on, let's just be real. If Christ, the Christ, the anointed one, mm-hmm. the Messiah, if he lives in you, it's the same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in you. So if he dwells in you, man, all of us are living beneath what we could be living, I believe. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, let's face it, if the scriptures are accurate and correct, which I believe they are, then I know I'm living beneath where I should be. Well, and it's not condemnation. I'm not heaping condemnation on anybody. I'm just saying, like Enoch, the more you walk with him, the more you're going to see it. And the more you see it, the more you're going to become it. And once you become it, then shall I say this? And... You know, when you're in that position, I don't think you can get sick.
Yeah.
I really don't. When you're in that realm, in that heavenly realm, this is heavy, and we weren't intended to get this way.
Well, show me where it's recorded that the Lord ever got sick.
No, he never got sick. He never got sick.
His relationship with the Father, that oneness with the mm-hmm. Father. He could, actually, Jesus could not die a natural death. He had to lay down his life.
Yeah, he said, I give my life freely. Right. You can't take it, Pilate.
Amen.
You can't take it. So guess what? If we enter into that realm and we actually become one with the Spirit.
That's what Enoch did.
Enoch didn't die, folks.
No, he didn't.
He didn't die.
He couldn't die.
So whether God decides to... keep you for 120 years or 3,000 years.
Like Moses?
Moses was 120, but what was Methuselah? 960 some years old? Why is it hard for us to believe that if we enter into what the Lord has done for us by depositing the Spirit of God in us that brings nothing but life, it does not bring death?
That's what he said he came to bring.
Yeah.
How come that you might have life?
And have it more abundantly. Amen. So guess what? Don't turn us off. please just embrace this because it's truth, man. I mean, seriously.
I do like the Bereans. Just take it to the Lord
take it
and
to
see
the
if
Lord.
These things are true.
Yeah.
Well, you know, well, I will say this. A little bit of the balancing of that life is, as Jesus said, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live.
Yeah.
So even if you lay down this natural body and you believe into him, you didn't die. You just stepped through the veil into eternal life, you know. Now, there, I believe there's going to come a people who are going to step through that veil on this side of the veil. So he stepped through the, you know, just like when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration and he was transfigured before them. And really what that word transfigured is the word metamorpho. And it talks, and a metamorphosis is when something becomes a two-dimensional creature.
The caterpillar and the worm.
It can fly. Yeah. It can crawl on the earth, but it can fly in the heavens.
Right.
It can swim in the water. But it can come up on the land, you know, a frog. That's a metamorphosis. And you know what? We have to believe that we've already been there because he tells us where we're supposed to be seated. We're seated together with him in heavenly places. Now, we're right here on the earth, but we also have to spiritually realize we're seated together with him in heavenly places, in the heavenly realms. You know, Jesus said one time, talking about that he, the Son of Man, which was in heaven, he was standing there right talking to him. Mm-hmm. He was talking about himself. He was saying, I'm in heaven.
Yeah, his feet were on the earth.
I'm in heaven. I'm standing here, but I'm in heaven because I'm in that heavenly realm with God. Right. I'm so one with God that even though you see me physically standing here, I'm in that other dimension also, you know.
There is that realm.
I mean, if we're getting deep, we might as well get a little deeper.
There is that realm,
you know,
where there is no sin and death.
Right. That's absolutely right.
There is no sin and death. It's only life.
Right.
It's in our spirit now.
It's there.
Spirit cannot die.
We've all three said the same thing. Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Oh,
well, there's no more hope of glory than completely being eliminated from all darkness. And let me just read this. Let's see. You know what? We're going to take a break because it's almost 12:30. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. Hope we're not, you know what? I hope we are blowing your minds because we need our minds blown so that the mind of Christ can come in and reside and dominate our thoughts, our imagination, our everything, you know, dominate it because, you know, it also says in Romans 8:8 that, you know, the flesh cannot please God.
Mm-hmm.
Says it. Flesh cannot please God. That's not meaning, well, I can't please God because I'm operating in this skin and this flesh, this earth suit. That's not what that means. It's counter to the spiritual life, the fleshly life.
Right.
Okay. So anyway, let's go ahead.
Okay.
There's an annual meeting, and Jim will come to you afterwards. There's an annual meeting that is for all those that have membership, and it's Sunday, September 19th. Registration is 3 to 4. The meeting is 4 to 7. You know, to be eligible, you just have to be a member, paid member. So if you haven't paid your dues or whatever, please do that right away and bring your membership card and photo ID. If you don't have your membership card, just bring some kind of proof of payment. So that is going to be at the New Thought Unity Center, 1401 East McMillan Street in Cincinnati, right down the street from the studio here. So please, all the members, show up, and we'll take care of some business.
Social Security. Do you have a question about Social Security? Most Social Security business can be handled online or by telephone. Just call 1-800-772-1213 between the hours of 7 a.m. and 7 p.m. or visit the website anytime at www.socialsecurity.gov.com.
All right. Praise the Lord. We are kingdom building, and you are kingdom building. We're all kingdom building. We just want to do what God wants us to do. We want to be available to God. It's not a, so many people say, oh, you know, I want to know your will or whatever. I want to know what my purpose is, whatever.
What do you want me to do?
Yeah, what do you want me to do, you know? And
just be available.
Just be available. Just be available. He'll guide you and direct you. It says the sons of God are led by the Spirit. So that's son or daughter, you know.
Sure.
You know that scripture that we read before out of John? If you go on down a little bit further in John, it says this. And this was the Jews. They were questioning Jesus. And they said unto him, therefore, what signs showest thou that we may believe and see and believe? And they said, our fathers did eat manna in the desert. And as it is written, he gave unto them bread from heaven to eat. And you know, the word manna literally in the Old Testament in Hebrew has the meaning of what is it? Or what is. And in the New Testament, the word manna has a different meaning. It has the meaning of man, M-A-N, man. So what is man? If you take the two of them and put them together. And in Psalms 8, 4 through 6, it says, what is man that thou art mindful of him, or the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou hast made him a little lower than the angels. Thou didst crown him with glory and honor. Thou made him to have dominion of all the works of thy hand, and thou hast put all things under his feet. And then up in Hebrews, they quote that same scripture, but they go ahead and say, we don't yet see all things put under man, but what we do see is Jesus. But what it's really talking about, he's put all things under man. Mm-hmm. But that scripture you read before, out of Psalm 82, where it's basically, it tells you there, but he tells you back there, he says, he calls you, he's basically calling them gods, you know.
And your gods.
Your gods. And it's the word Elohim, you know, in Hebrew. It's the word Elohim. And if you go ahead and read that whole Psalm, he says, how long, Elohim, are you going to let the earth be out of course?
You are Elohim.
It says,
you are Elohim.
I've said you're a god, you're Elohim, but you die like men.
And if this is if this is crazy to you,
this is the word of God. I mean, we're
take
not
notes.
Telling you nothing but the word of God.
That's right.
Here.
Take notes. Get your pen and paper out because trust me, if we're not reading this out of the scriptures, you call us on it.
Nope.
Okay? Jim, I know Oscar and I have been talking a lot. We're going, go ahead.
Yeah,
you got the rest of the program.
If I've got something to say, I'll jump in. You know me.
Well, you have something to say.
No, I was just thinking about one of the poems the Lord gave me. The poem ended with, where is God? Who is God? That's what the poem was talking about. And then in the last sentence of the poem said, he is the me in me that I see. We've got to, I think, again, what God's particularly doing in this hour, since we're coming to the end of the ages, I guess, he's just wanting to reveal our true identity to us, who we really are. And I think
which is himself.
Yeah, it is. That's what Jesus was trying to reveal, but he was a little ahead of the curve when he said, ye are gods. They didn't know where he was coming from. They were ready to stone him to death. And frankly, a lot of people today, if they, you know, we're saying, ye are gods. You know, we're just quoting scriptures. And I might add this, too. You're not listening to this broadcast by mistake.
No. Yeah.
So, you know, you better understand that the Lord has got your ear tuned here for a very divine reason. So glean what you can from what the Spirit is saying to you. Not necessarily what we're saying, but what the Spirit is saying through us to you. It'll bear witness with you.
God wants to stretch you. He wants to stretch you. You know, you can't sit still. If you're walking with God, guess what? You're walking. And you don't walk unless there's a destination that you're walking to, you know? And everybody's heard this expression, don't put God in a box.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, That's going on out there. I did for a while. I put God in a box. I didn't think he was able to do the things that he's shown me that he can do. And I didn't think of myself, ooh, here we go, Oscar, being equal with the Father. I mean, Jesus said that, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Well, if it says that if you see him as he is, you will be like him. Yeah. So guess what? And that's not saying that we are the source. We are not the source. God is the source.
Right.
That's what we want to get clear. God is the Father is the source. But guess what? We have an inheritance that is so beyond our realm of comprehension that it's just so exciting. I mean, y'all should be excited. Some of you should be jumping up in your chairs. Some of you should be shaking. Some of you should be laughing. Some of you just should be darn joyful. But this...
You mean like the guy we were with yesterday?
Yeah. Colossians 1:9, it says, this is Paul speaking to the Church of Colossae. It says, since we first heard about you, we've kept you always in our prayers that you would receive the perfect knowledge of God's pleasure over your lives. Wow. It's there, folks. Just receive it. You have a part in this. It's not getting your lazy boy chair and watch TV and hope that God just pumps it all into. No, you have a part in this. It says, making you reservoirs of every kind of wisdom and spiritual understanding. You know what? People are counting on you to receive wisdom and spiritual understanding to help bring them up.
Right.
We pray that you would walk in the ways of true righteousness, and that you can't do it on your own effort. Trust me, it's only just like our song, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. And so the kingdom of God is within, and that's where righteousness dwells.
That's right.
Pleasing God in every good thing you do, then you'll become fruit-bearing branches. What was it? 3 weeks ago, we talked about he is the vine and we are the branches.
Right.
Yielding to his life, surrendering to his life. You already died. You were crucified with Christ. That's what the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
So yield to him and maturing in the rich experience of knowing God in his fullness. Knowing God in his fullness. And we pray that you will be energized with all his explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. If you don't have great hope, get Colossians 1 out and read it and read it and read it some more. 12, I'll just read the last part. It says 12, your hearts can soar with joyful gratitude when you think of how God made you worthy to receive the glorious inheritance. What does it say? People say, well, I'm not worthy. Well, God made you worthy.
Yes, he did.
To receive the glorious inheritance freely given to us by living in the light. He has rescued us completely from the tyrannical rule of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom realm of his beloved Son.
Yeah.
For in the Son, all... Listen to this. If you don't get anything else, maybe this is what you need to hear. For in the Son, all sins are canceled. You need to hear that, folks.
Mm-hmm.
All sins are canceled. And we have the release of redemption through his very blood. Man, if that doesn't get light a fire, your wood's wet.
And I might add that it's all grace.
It's all by grace.
Yeah, it is. It's all by grace.
You know, I will say this. You know, a lot of times when you first get saved, we tell people you need to be born again. And, you know, a lot of people don't realize what even being born again is. They use those terms and they don't even realize what it actually means. And, you know, Peter in 1 Peter
born from above
1:23, he said, being born again, not of a corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed by the word of God that liveth and abideth forever. And you know, each seed is after its own kind. When the seed of the word of God in you begin to be watered by his word and brought forth, a seed can only produce what it is. And if it's a seed of the word of God, the only thing it can produce is God. Mm-hmm. And you know, I know that there's probably some out there that said, boy, these guys are talking some pretty heavy stuff here today when they're talking about, you know, you are gods and sons of the Most High, that kind of thing. But you know what? That's exactly what happens. Mm-hmm. You know, when my son was born, you know, he was born into my family. And you know what? He became a Bowling. Mm-hmm. He didn't have no choice. When he was born, he became my son.
You created.
And when you were born again, you became a son of God. You became a part of him.
Yes.
And you know, in I'm trying to think where it is. I guess it's in Ephesians, the fourth chapter, when it talks about that we speak the truth in love, that you might grow up in him in all things, which is the head. And it's talking about even him being Christ. And it says, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. He's wanting you to grow up. You know, the biggest thing that you can say about somebody's son, and it should make the father feel pretty good when they say, you look just like your daddy. I could spot you a mile away. I know you're just like him. And I'm going to tell you what, when you can say that, when somebody says that about you spiritual, you're just like Jesus. Well, you know, that's the greatest compliment you could ever receive, because he was the manifestation of the love of God. He was the love of God revealed. And you know, that's what he's wanting us to become too, the love of God revealed. And as we become that, as it, like it says in Romans, the 8th chapter, creation's going to be set free into the glorious liberty of being the children of God.
You have a poem or something?
No, I was just thinking about Paul. These thoughts are in my head about when he was in Mars Hill,
mm-hmm.
and all the Greeks and everybody was gathered together,
right,
and
right.
they were all scholars
right.
and students. And Paul said, I noticed the monument you had outside that they were seeking for the unknown God. That's the reason
that's
why
right.
they gathered together.
Right.
And I don't recall the exact words. If you do, Oscar, go ahead and quote it. But,
well, I don't.
But
I'm
Paul
just
said,
looking to see if I can find it real quick here.
Paul said something to the effect that, don't you all realize that you are all the children and the sons of God?
That's right.
And these were people that didn't even know the God. I mean, again, you know, they had the monument outside. It says this is a tribute to the unknown God. He was mm-hmm. unknown to them,
right.
but yet he was, this is deep, but yet he was embedded in their hearts, every one of them. Because they all came out. We're all the creation of God.
That's
you know,
right.
you wouldn't be breathing right now if you didn't have the life of God in
exactly.
you.
Right.
You know,
that's what we said in the beginning, that everybody is dealt a measure of faith.
Yeah.
Everybody. Well, you know, what if they're Muslim? Well, you've been dealt a measure of faith. What mm-hmm. if they're Buddhists? Mm-hmm. You've been dealt a measure of faith.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what the Bible says. I mean, you can read it yourself.
They're all right. seeking. They all know that there's a God.
And the
right.
Father
They'll
said
that,
that he loves the world so much that he gave his only begotten Son. I mean, that's love. And what Jesus did was love. So you had Jesus many, well, at least I know of one time where he said, come up here. What did he mean by that? He didn't mean climb the steps to a house that he just built.
Yeah.
No. He says, come up into a higher realm. Come up into a higher dimension where there is life and you can have life more abundantly. It's a dimension. It's a realm. It's a place you can't see, but you can. You can arrive at this place. It says in John chapter 8:24, it says, Jesus had said, you draw your conclusions from the sense-ruled world here. In other words, your senses, your five senses.
Mm-hmm.
My source points to a different dimension. That's what we're talking about, folks, a different dimension. This came right out of Jesus' mouth. A realm which is above the horizon of the senses. You have five spiritual senses. That's the ones he wants you to use. Right. He wants you to see with the eyes of Jesus. He wants you to hear with his eyes. It even says in Psalms 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Mm-hmm. 8:24 goes on to say, that is why I said that you will die in your sins, because you are not convinced about who I am. Mm-hmm. Didn't we say that without faith it's impossible to please him? Mm-hmm. Well, it's also without faith it's impossible to move into this dimension. You can't do it unless you have faith to believe, first of all, that there is a better place. So many people wait and say, oh, if I could just hang on till I die, then I'll be with the Lord forever. Mm-hmm. No, be with the Lord today. Be with the Lord right this minute, because he has afforded you the opportunity to not wait until you die a physical death, mm-hmm. to be with him. It goes on to say, it says, because you are not convinced about who I am, you're going to die in your sins. You don't even know that your sins have been forgiven, because you're in that earthly realm, in that lower realm. Mm-hmm. It says you would not know who you are. You're living a mistaken identity. You're someone that you're really not. It says your unbelief in my I am-ness will keep you trapped in this death-ruled dimension, the very dimension that I have come to deliver you from.
Amen.
Man, that's good news, folks. Get out of that old dimension, that lower realm, that earthly realm. You know, and you might say, well, how do I do it? How do I get out of this?
Jesus is the elevator.
Right.
Get in Christ and go up.
He's done it all for you. Now you just have to believe on him and what he said.
Amen.
And if you believe on him and what he said, guess what? You are going to start seeing yourself. People will notice a change in you. They will say, what is going on with Joe or Sue or whatever? They seem really different. They have a smile on their face. They seem to always not overreact to negative things and whatever. But it's all that closer walk with the Lord. That's how it all comes about. And that's through reading his word. That's through praying, praising him, thanking him.
Amen.
All these things will bring you into a oneness with him. And guess what? He said, I'm in you. So now it's your time to be in him. And if he's in you and you're in him, what's that say? There's a unity and a oneness.
And you're in heaven.
Amen.
There's not a... I'll make a statement here that's going to sound a little bit powerful too. Every man that's in this room, you, Rich, Oscar, myself, we have been in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
While in this body.
Yes.
We have been in heaven.
Yes.
We can hear.
And it's awesome.
Yeah, and we can hear the voice of Almighty God.
Yeah.
We can hear the voice of Almighty God. Here's a poem that the Lord gave me here a while back. It says, in the realm of this present time, we are given presents and gifts of mysteries and rhymes. They are presents, and they are gifts that can't be seen by the human eye.
Mm-hmm.
Each and every day, they can pass you by. But now the Lord wants us to see the glorious new creation that he's empowered us to be. That word empowered us is N-I-N, power. He's empowered you to be. There's a power. There's an almighty Holy Ghost inside of you.
Yes.
That wants to take you up into the realm of where Christ is seated in heavenly places. And then it goes on, the poem goes on to say, now the only way to receive these gifts and understand these mysteries is to open up your heart and mind to make the shift. And as you focus your eye on me, the Lord, it will put into motion a new clarity. And the only way to get this done is to put your attention and focus on my Son. For in him you will see all the attributes that I've called and given you to be. So continue to receive my grace. That's the big key right there. Continue to receive his grace. This is a grace walk. God's already deposited the faith in you, like Brother Rich said.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for it to grow, God will water it by his grace, and it will grow and grow. And it says, so continue to receive my grace as you continue to run this race, and fear not, for I will be your strength to help you maintain the pace, and you will surely come to see me face to face.
Amen. Amen.
Praise
That's
the Lord.
Good.
And
Praise
that isn't
Lord.
After you die and go to heaven, I might add.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think we all have to come to a point where we realize that there's more.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
There's
Absolutely.
More of him.
Absolutely.
Right. And if you think you've arrived and you've got it all,
you're deceived.
Repent.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no end.
Repent. All that repent means is change your mind. Yeah. Quit thinking that way, because that's stinking thinking. Yeah. Because right. I'll tell you, I know these two brothers here, and let me tell you something. All of us believe the same thing. God's taken us a long way, but there's a lot more to come, and we haven't even probably scratched the surface.
Never ending. There is no end in Christ.
That's right. Amen.
There's no end.
Amen.
We're going to spend eternity in the glories of Almighty God. There is no end to him.
Yeah.
World without end.
Do you have a poem or something, Oscar? I'm no pressure.
No, really, okay, I don't really
fine.
Feel inspired to share one right now,
that's
to be honest
fine.
With you.
No problem. We just want you to think upon these things.
Right.
You know, we're not going to sit here and tell you, oh, we've arrived, because we haven't, like I just said.
No.
But I will tell you this. There's different ways to interpret the Bible. You know, there's many, many interpretations. A good example. There's many, many interpretations of the book of Revelation.
But there's only one truth.
But there's only one truth. And guess what? The book of Revelation is a spiritual book. John was in the Spirit on the day of the Lord. And guess what? If he's in the Spirit on the day of the Lord, you better take that book from the spirit realm and not from the natural realm.
Right. And you know, if you, I can remember one of the old brothers that used to come to our church years ago, and you know, he said he had studied the book of Revelations from the beginning all the way to the end, and he said, you know, he had looked at it and looked at it, and he said, and then one day the Lord started dealing with him about the book of Revelations and took him to the last chapter, had him minister out of that, then took him to the first chapter, and had him minister out of that, and he said, and if you look at the book of Revelations other than anything other than being the revelation of Jesus Christ, you're looking at it wrong.
Right.
If you're looking at it as being the revelation of the beast, the revelation of end times, if you're looking at it for revelation of anything other than what it says originally, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And if Christ in you is the hope of glory, a lot of these things that people are looking to happen out in the natural, and I don't know how many books have been written, you could probably stack them up and climb to the moon on Revelations, and I'm going to tell you, most of the people that did that didn't know what they were talking about. They were using their natural mind to try to figure this stuff out. It's the revelation of Jesus Christ, and if it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, a lot of these things are happening right inside of you. And you need to pray and ask God to reveal to you what the revelation of Jesus Christ is really all about. And you're going to find out that it isn't something, some future thing that's going to happen out there on the earth. A lot of it is happening right inside of you.
Yes. And all that death and destruction, guess what? That's the fire, the consuming fire of God burning up the hay, wood, and stubble in your lives.
Talking about the book of Revelation,
it's
the lake
a good
of fire,
book.
And what the lake
yeah,
of fire, and all,
yeah,
yeah,
look,
okay.
all that. Yeah. Well, just all of it. Yeah. I mean, the destruction says 2/3 of the earth was destroyed, or whatever. Well, you know, whatever. It's all symbolic. But I will tell you this: the destruction is occurring inside of you, and it's a good thing. It's a very, very good thing. He's going to get rid of all the pride. He's going to get rid of, if you have greed, addictions, whatever it is that needs to burn up, God's going to burn it up. He's a consuming fire, and he burns up all the flesh that's in you. And so think of Revelation, the book of Revelation, as Oscar said, it is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Where's that going to be found? In you.
Right.
And that's what brings you up into another realm in him.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so don't think of it as a bad book. Think of it as a good book.
You know, Rich, he says in Revelations, he said, to him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. Now, if you take that in a natural vein, you'd be saying, okay, if I overcome, then he's going to take me over in Jerusalem, and he's going to make me a marble pillar in that temple over there, and he's going to engrave a bunch of names on me. Yeah. No, it's spiritual. It's very spiritual. To him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. What does a pillar do? In every building that you walk into, there's pillars, or there's bearing walls, or whatever you want to call it. And what do? They hold up the whole structure. You take a bearing wall out of a house, and you don't know what you're doing when you start pulling walls down. You take a bearing wall out of the house, and guess what? Your house is probably going to fall down.
Yep.
And you know, when he says, I'll make a pillar in the temple of my God, he's talking about a people that are founded on nothing but the foundation of Jesus Christ, and yet they're always lifting people up. They're always praying for people. They're always encouraging people. They're trying to get you to grow up into being that building, that temple of God, see? Mm-hmm. And you know, and he says, I'll write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. If he writes upon you, what he's really saying there, if you actually take the meaning of those words, I will inscribe or describe upon him the character and the nature of my God, and he'll go no more out of my presence, but my presence will continuously be there. We go in and out, you know, and it's kind of a shame that we do that sometimes,
yeah.
But we still go in and out of the presence of
sure
God.
Sure we do.
You know, or even the acknowledgement of him sometimes. We start to acknowledge the things around us. But once we really come to that place of really understanding God's word, it is so much greater than all of these fairy tales that are being told out there.
Yeah,
Jim, you got the last 4 minutes.
Okay.
So you better fill them
well.
I'll give you what I got. But, the thoughts that are racing through my mind right now is I hear the Lord saying, any time that you are looking outside yourself, trying to find me, it's not going to happen. Jesus said to the religious people, he said, the kingdom of God does not come with signs
right.
of observation,
right.
saying, lo here, lo there.
Right.
You know, he was saying, you know, if your eschatology, if your belief system is saying, well, Jesus is going to come when world wars and everything breaks out, you're looking to the outside, and Jesus was clear on that. He said, my kingdom does not come with signs of outward observations,
yes, right.
but my kingdom is within you. And I think that that's what this whole radio program has been about this afternoon,
right.
is steering us to look inside to find the kingdom. I mean, it's even like Jesus said to Nicodemus, unless a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Many of God's precious people are born again, and they can see, they know that there is God, and they know he has a kingdom. But then Jesus went on to add to Nicodemus, and unless you're born of my spirit, you cannot enter into this thing that I'm talking to you about. You cannot enter into the deep relationship, the oneness, you know, the joy, the love of my kingdom.
Right.
So God wants you to, you know, you see the kingdom. Now he's saying, I want to encourage you to move into my kingdom by the Spirit and stop looking on the external. There's a lot of things we have to take care of on the external because we live in an external world. But if you're looking for God's kingdom, you've got to go inside. And frankly, as you do that, God will help you a great deal on your external world, I might
add.
That's
true.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
Amen.
Hey, you know, if y'all feel, some of you feel overwhelmed or something, just hang in there with us.
Yeah.
Just, you know, try to listen to us every Wednesday at 12 noon. It's Kingdom Building. You can stream it. You can tune it into your radio, whatever. But it's a new day, folks. It's a new day. I mean, Lord gave me a word in December of 2020. He said, you know, I can't pour new wine into old wineskins. Some of the old's going to have to go, and the new has to come forth for us to understand and be able to become what the Lord has asked us to become. And so hang in there with us. We're, you know, sometimes we may get a little deep, but that's because we want to love you into a higher realm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, just a real short word here from the Lord. He says, I have given you my light that you might see, and I have given you my life that you might be, and I have given you my love so you can manifest and reveal me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. We love you. We love you, and we want to see you again next week here on Kingdom Building. God bless you.
Praise God.
Righteousness, peace.